Here is the complete podcast episode transcript. Welcome to the Cutting Edge Discoveries podcast, where we dive deep into the latest research that is transforming our understanding of the world. I'm Tom, and with me is my co-host Jen.
Hello everyone. Today, we'll be discussing a fascinating paper titled Special Matrices Over Finite Fields and Their Applications to Quantum Error Correcting Codes. This work, published in the Preprint Archive focuses on an important class of matrices and how they can be leveraged to construct robust quantum error correcting codes.
That's right, Jen. This research really gets to the heart of some fundamental challenges in quantum computing. How do we protect delicate quantum information from the ravages of noise and errors? The authors propose using a special type of matrix structure to build more resilient quantum codes. It's cutting-edge stuff that has broad implications for the future of quantum technology.
Absolutely. Let's start by unpacking the key ideas behind this paper. The core focus is on what the authors call matrix product codes. These are a type of classical error-correcting code constructed by combining several smaller constituent codes using a defining matrix.
Right. The defining matrix is the special ingredient here. The authors show that if this matrix satisfies a particular algebraic property, called being, d, tau, monomial, then it unlocks some really powerful capabilities for the resulting matrix product code.
That's a mouthful. D, tau, monomial matrices. Can you break that down for us in more intuitive terms?
Sure, let me try to simplify it. Imagine you have a grid of numbers, where each row and column represents a different code. The D, tau, monomial condition means that this grid has a very particular structure. The numbers along each column are related to each other by a simple scaling factor, and the rows can be rearranged in a specific way.
Oh, I see. That helps visualize it. So this special matrix structure allows the authors to analyze the matrix product codes in a deep way. What kinds of properties were they able to uncover?
They made some really fascinating discoveries. First, they derived an explicit formula for calculating the dimension of the Hermitian hull of these matrix product codes. The Hermitian hull is this interesting mathematical object that reveals a lot about the code's inner workings.
The Hermitian hull, that sounds quite technical. Can you explain what that is and why it's important?
Sure. The Hermitian hull is basically a way of measuring how self-orthogonal a code is. In other words, it looks at the overlap between a code and its own dual code. Codes with large Hermitian hulls have this nice property of being dual-containing, which turns out to be really valuable for quantum error correction.
I see. That makes sense. So by understanding the Hermitian hull, the authors could deduce other important properties of their matrix product codes.
Exactly. Armed with this Hermitian hull formula, they were able to give necessary and sufficient conditions for their matrix product codes to have all sorts of desirable qualities, being Hermitian dual-containing, almost Hermitian dual-containing, Hermitian self-orthogonal, and so on.
That's impressive. Being able to precisely characterize when these codes will have those special properties must unlock a lot of potential for practical quantum error correction. What are some of the key implications?
Well, the big takeaway is that this D, tau, monomial matrix structure allows the authors to systematically construct matrix product codes that are tailor-made for quantum applications. They can ensure the codes have the right mathematical properties to protect quantum information from errors.
That's hugely important. Quantum computers are so delicate, and finding robust error-correcting codes is one of the major challenges blocking progress. This work provides a powerful new tool in that quest.
Absolutely. And the authors don't just stop at the theory. They also give explicit construction methods for building these optimal matrix product codes. So not only do they reveal the underlying mathematics, but they provide a roadmap for putting it into practice.
That's fantastic. It's rare to see research that so neatly bridges the gap between theory and application. This paper really has the potential to drive real advances in quantum computing.
I agree, Jen. The authors have made some incredibly insightful contributions here. They've taken this abstract idea of matrix product codes and shown how a subtle mathematical property can unlock a whole world of possibilities for quantum error correction.
It's a great example of how deep, rigorous theoretical work can open up new frontiers. Just by studying these special matrices, the authors were able to derive all sorts of powerful results that could have a major impact.
Exactly. And I love how they managed to make some of these complex topics accessible. The way they explained the d, tau, monomial condition, and how it relates to the structure of the defining matrix, that was really intuitive and helped bring the mathematics to life.
Agreed. They did an excellent job of balancing the technical details with engaging storytelling. It makes you appreciate just how much thought and creativity goes into this kind of groundbreaking research.
Definitely. This paper is a real tour de force. It tackles fundamental problems in quantum computing through innovative mathematical analysis, and provides a clear roadmap for applying those insights in practice. It's the kind of work that could reshape the future of the field.
Absolutely. This is the kind of cutting-edge discovery that we live for on this podcast. It's research that pushes the boundaries of what's possible, with the potential to have a transformative impact. I'm really excited to see where the authors take this work next.
Me too, Jen. This is the kind of story that reminds us why we're so passionate about diving deep into the latest research. Uncovering these kinds of breakthroughs, it's what gets us up in the morning.
Couldn't agree more, Tom. Well, listeners, I think that about wraps up our discussion of this fascinating paper on special matrices and quantum error correction. Be sure to tune in next time for more cutting-edge discoveries.
Yes, join us again soon as we explore the frontiers of science and technology. Until then, keep exploring the unknown.
Thanks everyone. This was Tom and Jen signing off.
Are you tired of quantum errors corrupting your qubit states? Introducing the newest innovation from Quantum Fortress, the Hermitian Hull Protector.
Harness the power of D, tau, monomial matrices to create the ultimate quantum error correcting code. Our Hermitian Hull Protector guarantees your quantum information is shielded from even the most devious decoherence.
With our patented matrix product code technology, you can kiss those pesky bit flips and phase shifts goodbye. Quantum Fortress, protecting the future of computing, one qubit at a time.
Stop quantum errors in their tracks with the Hermitian Hull Protector from Quantum Fortress. Available now for a limited time at the low price of 3 easy payments of 99.99 Planck units.
Don't let noisy channels corrupt your delicate quantum states. Upgrade to Quantum Fortress Hermitian Hull Protector today.
Quantum Fortress, safeguarding the frontiers of quantum technology.
Here is the podcast episode transcript. Welcome to our podcast, where we dive deep into the latest cutting-edge research. I'm your host, Tom.
And I'm Jen. Today, we're excited to explore a fascinating paper that is pushing the boundaries of video understanding and 3D scene generation. The title of the research we'll be discussing is DreamScene 4D, Dynamic Multi-Object Scene Generation from Monocular Videos.
That's right, Jen. This paper, authored by researchers at Carnegie Mellon University, presents a groundbreaking approach for generating dynamic 3D scenes from ordinary 2D video footage. Let's jump right in and discover how they tackled this complex challenge.
The core problem the researchers were trying to solve is known as video TO4D, the task of inferring the 3D structure and motion of objects in a dynamic 3D scene, all from a single 2D video. This is an incredibly difficult problem because 2D videos lack the depth information needed to fully reconstruct the 3D world.
Exactly. Previous work has mostly focused on generating 4D content from simpler inputs like single images or text descriptions. But going from a standard 2D video to a fully realized 3D scene with moving objects? That's a whole other level of complexity.
The key innovation in this paper is what the authors call a decompose then recompose approach. The idea is to first break down the video into its constituent parts, the background, the individual objects, and their motions, and then rebuild the full 4D scene by putting everything back together.
Right, they start by using advanced computer vision techniques to segment the video, tracking the different objects and even completing the parts that are occluded or outside the frame. This allows them to model each object's 3D motion independently.
And the researchers don't stop there. They also factorize the observed object motions into multiple components to handle fast, complex movements. Then they optimize the camera motion by re-rendering the background to align with the original video.
It's a really ingenious approach. By breaking the problem down into these manageable pieces, they're able to tackle the immense challenge of reconstructing a fully dynamic 3D scene from a single 2D video. And the results are pretty stunning.
Absolutely. The authors demonstrate their system, called DreamScene 4D, on a variety of challenging real-world videos, including the Davis and Kubrick datasets. The generated 4D scenes are remarkably realistic, capturing the intricate movements of multiple objects across occlusions and viewpoint changes.
One of the coolest things is that DreamScene 4D doesn't just generate the 3D scene. It also enables accurate 2D point tracking by projecting the inferred 3D trajectories back onto the original video. So it's not just creating 4D content, but also enhancing our understanding of the 2D video itself.
That's a great point. The researchers weren't just focused on the end result, but also on developing techniques that could benefit other video understanding tasks. It shows a real depth of insight and a commitment to advancing the field as a whole.
Definitely. And I think one of the key strengths of this paper is how the authors tackle the inherent ambiguity and under-constrained nature of going from 2D to 3D. By breaking it down into these different components and leveraging generative priors, they're able to make reasonable inferences about the 3D world from the 2D video.
Absolutely. It's an impressive balancing act, using powerful machine learning models to decompose the video, while also incorporating physical and geometric constraints to ensure the final 4D scene is coherent and plausible. The fact that they can do all of this without any explicit 3D supervision is really remarkable.
You know, as I was reading through this paper, I couldn't help but think about the broader implications and applications of this work. Imagine being able to take a simple home video and reconstruct it as a fully immersive 3D experience. Or using these techniques to create digital avatars and environments that seamlessly blend the real and virtual worlds.
That's a great point. DreamScene 4D really opens up all sorts of possibilities in areas like virtual reality, robotics, and digital content creation. Being able to accurately capture the 3D dynamics of the physical world has so many transformative use cases.
Absolutely. And I think the researchers themselves acknowledge that this is just the beginning. They point to some limitations, like handling more extreme camera motions or very fast object movements. But the fact that they've made such impressive progress on this problem is a testament to their creativity and technical prowess.
Definitely. This paper really pushes the boundaries of what's possible in video understanding and 3D scene generation. The researchers have developed a fundamentally new approach that could have far-reaching impacts across multiple fields. I can't wait to see how this work evolves and what other breakthroughs it inspires.
Me too, Jen. This has been a fascinating exploration of the DreamScene 4D paper. The researchers have taken on an immensely challenging problem and come up with an ingenious solution that delivers remarkable results. I'm eager to see what other cutting-edge discoveries we can uncover in future episodes.
Absolutely, Tom. Thanks for joining me today on this journey through the world of dynamic 3D scene generation. DreamScene 4D is a prime example of how relentless curiosity and scientific creativity can push the boundaries of what's possible. I'm already looking forward to our next deep dive into groundbreaking research.
Same here, Jen. Until next time, keep dreaming big and exploring the frontiers of science and technology. This is Tom and Jen, signing off. Here is a silly and bizarre commercial for a fictional company inspired by the DreamScene 4D paper. Are you tired of boring 2D videos that just sit flat on the screen?
Wish you could jump right into the action and explore a fully immersive 3D world.
Introducing Dreamscape Enterprises, the company that can turn any ordinary video into a jaw-dropping, reality-bending 4D experience.
That's right, folks. With our cutting-edge DreamScene 4D technology, we can take your mundane home movies and transform them into living, breathing environments you can virtually inhabit.
Bored of watching your kid's soccer game? Just strap on a Dreamscape headset and you'll be running down the field, kicking the ball yourself.
Planning a vacation? Why settle for flat photos when you can revisit your travel memories as an interactive 3D hologram?
The possibilities are endless. Dreamscape Enterprises, where reality is just a suggestion.
So what are you waiting for? Upgrade your videos to 4D today. Visit DreamscapeEnterprises.com.
Caution. Side effects may include dizziness, disorientation, and a newfound aversion to 2D content.
Dreamscape Enterprises. Experience the world like never before.
Here is the podcast episode transcript. Welcome to our podcast, where we dive deep into the latest cutting-edge research. I'm Tom, and with me today is my co-host, Jen.
Hi everyone. Today, we're exploring a fascinating paper titled Structural Pruning of Pre-trained Language Models via Neural Architecture Search, authored by researchers at Amazon Web Services and Helsing.
This paper tackles a critical challenge facing the deployment of large, powerful language models like BERT and Roberta in real-world applications. Despite their state-of-the-art performance, these pre-trained models can be incredibly resource-intensive, demanding a lot of GPU memory and compute power for inference.
Exactly. The researchers recognize that often, only a subset of a pre-trained model's parameters are truly essential for a given downstream task. So they set out to develop a way to prune these models, to selectively remove parts of the architecture, in order to make them more efficient without sacrificing too much accuracy.
And their approach is really innovative. Instead of relying on fixed pruning thresholds or heuristics, they turn to the power of Neural Architecture Search, or NAS. This data-driven technique allows them to automatically explore different ways of pruning the model and identify the optimal trade-offs between efficiency and performance.
That's right. The key insight is that NAS is uniquely suited for this pruning problem. Traditional pruning methods often struggle to find the right balance. Removing too many parameters can hurt performance, but being overly conservative results in sub-optimal efficiency. NAS, on the other hand, can systematically explore this nonlinear relationship and identify the Pareto optimal set of pruned models.
So let's dive into how they actually implemented this NAS-based pruning approach. The researchers started with a pre-trained transformer-based language model, like BERT, and treated it as a super network containing all the possible pruned subnetworks they wanted to explore.
Right. And they defined several different search spaces to prune the model in different ways. The simplest was the small space, which let them control the number of attention heads and feed-forward units to remove in each layer. Then they had the layer space, which allowed pruning entire attention and feed-forward layers.
The medium and large spaces got increasingly more granular, enabling pruning of individual heads and neurons. This gave them greater flexibility to find the optimal subnetwork, but also dramatically increased the size of the search space.
Exactly. And to make this multi-objective search process efficient, they employed weight-sharing techniques. Instead of training each subnetwork from scratch, they fine-tuned the supernetwork, but only updated a subset of the subnetworks at a time. This prevented the subnetworks from co-adapting and ensured they could function independently.
That's a clever approach. It allowed them to evaluate the performance of all the subnetworks without the huge computational cost of training each one separately. And after this super network fine-tuning, they could simply apply the pruning masks to the shared weights to get the validation error and parameter count of each subnetwork.
Right. So then they could use standard multi-objective optimization techniques to find the Pareto optimal set of subnetworks, the ones that provide the best trade-off between model size and accuracy. This gave them a lot more flexibility compared to traditional pruning methods with fixed thresholds.
The results they present are really impressive. They show they can prune these large language models by 50 to 80% in terms of parameter count, while only incurring a 1 to 2% drop in performance on downstream tasks. That's a massive gain in efficiency without sacrificing too much accuracy.
Absolutely. And the beauty of their NAS-based approach is that it's not limited to a particular pruning strategy or model architecture. The researchers demonstrated it on transformer-based models like BERT, but the general framework could be applied to prune any pre-trained neural network.
Exactly. This work is a great example of how the latest advances in neural architecture search can be leveraged to solve real-world problems in machine learning. By intelligently automating the model compression process, the researchers were able to get the best of both worlds, efficient inference without compromising on performance.
Totally. And beyond the practical applications, I found the technical details of their approach really fascinating. The way they used weight sharing and knowledge distillation to accelerate the super network training was quite ingenious. It's a great demonstration of how creative problem solving and novel methodologies can lead to breakthroughs.
Agreed. This is the kind of work that expands the boundaries of what's possible with deep learning. It takes a complex challenge and tackles it head on with a clever, data-driven solution. I'm really excited to see how this line of research evolves and how it ends up enabling more widespread deployment of these powerful language models.
Me too. There's still a lot of room for improvement and further optimization, but this paper is a significant step forward. It shows that with the right tools and techniques, we can make large language models much more practical and accessible, opening the door to a whole new world of applications.
Absolutely. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks everyone for joining us on this exploration of cutting-edge AI research. Be sure to tune in next time as we dive into another fascinating paper.
See you then.
Are you tired of your large language models being power-hungry resource hogs?
Introducing NeuralCut, the revolutionary AI-powered model pruning tool that uses neural architecture search to streamline your BERT, Roberta, and GPT models.
With NeuralCut, you can slash your model size by up to 80% while only losing a measly 1-2% in accuracy.
It's like liposuction for your neural networks. NeuralCut sculpts your models into lean, mean, inference machines.
Just feed in your pre-trained model and let our patented algorithms do the work. No more guessing which weights to prune. NeuralCut automatically finds the optimal trade-off between efficiency and performance.
And the best part, NeuralCut is powered by an all-new AI assistant named Pruny. She'll guide you through the whole process while delivering a barrage of hilariously bad pruning puns.
So what are you waiting for? Streamline your language models today with NeuralCut, the smarter way to trim the fat.
Call 1-800-NEURAL-LIPOSUCTION to get started. Operators are standing by to make your models waistline friendly.
Here is the complete podcast episode transcript. Welcome to the award-winning podcast where we investigate cutting-edge research with intrigue and depth. I'm Tom.
And I'm Jen. Today, we're diving into a fascinating paper that challenges the conventional wisdom around improving the zero-shot capabilities of vision language models.
The paper is titled On the Test Time Zero-Shot Generalization of Vision Language Models, Do We Really Need Prompt Learning? And it's authored by Maxime Zanella from UC Louvain and Ismail Ben-Aid from 8 Montreal.
This paper caught our attention because it tackles a critical problem in the field of computer vision and natural language processing: how to make these powerful vision language models, like CLIP, work better in real-world scenarios where labeled data is scarce.
The conventional approach has been to use prompt learning, where you fine-tune the textual prompts used to classify images. But the authors argue that there might be a simpler and more efficient way to boost the zero-shot performance of these models.
That's right. The key insight here is that instead of optimizing the prompts, we can directly work on improving the image representations in the shared embedding space. And they do this through a novel, robust technique called MeanShift for Test Time Augmentation, or MTA for short.
MTA is based on a well-known algorithm called MeanShift, which is used for finding the modes, or dense regions, in the distribution of data points. But the authors extend it to handle the messy realities of real-world test time augmentation.
Exactly. One of the challenges with test time augmentation is that the augmented views of an image can include some degenerated samples that don't actually help the model. So the authors introduce a way to automatically assess the inlineness of each augmented view and weight them accordingly in the MeanShift optimization.
This is really clever. By jointly optimizing the location of the density mode and the inlineness scores of the augmented views, MTA is able to robustly find a representation that captures the core characteristics of the target concept, while downweighting the noisy or irrelevant augmentations.
And the results are quite impressive. The paper shows that MTA consistently outperforms the state-of-the-art prompt tuning approaches, like CoOP and TPT, across a wide range of zero-shot classification tasks, from ImageNet to fine-grained datasets like Aircraft and Food 101.
What's even more remarkable is that MTA achieves these gains without requiring any hyperparameter tuning or additional training. It's a plug-and-play module that can just be dropped on top of existing zero-shot vision language models.
That's a really important point. The authors highlight that MTA is particularly well-suited for scenarios where the model is treated as a black box, like when using a commercial API. Prompt tuning requires differentiating through the entire model, which can be computationally expensive and infeasible in those settings.
MTA, on the other hand, only operates on the final embeddings, making it much more efficient and accessible. The paper reports that it runs almost 3 times faster than prompt tuning approaches on ImageNet.
Another intriguing aspect is how MTA can complement prompt-based methods. The authors show that combining MTA with prompts like Co-op leads to further performance boosts, indicating that the two approaches are capturing complementary aspects of the zero-shot classification problem.
Exactly, it's not an either-or situation. MTA can be used as a standalone technique, but it also plays nicely with prompt-based fine-tuning, suggesting there's still room for innovation in this space.
Absolutely, and the applications go beyond just zero-shot learning. The paper demonstrates that MTA can also provide consistent improvements when deployed on top of state-of-the-art few-shot learning methods, like TipAdapter and ProGrad.
That's a really interesting finding. It shows the versatility of this approach and how it can benefit a wide range of vision language model adaptation scenarios, from the fully unsupervised to the few-shot setting.
The key takeaway seems to be that we don't necessarily need to focus all our efforts on prompt engineering. By taking a step back and rethinking how we handle the image representations themselves, we can unlock substantial performance gains in a much more efficient and straightforward manner.
Exactly. This paper challenges the prevailing narrative and opens up new avenues for research. It makes you wonder what other fundamental aspects of these vision language models we may have overlooked that could lead to similar breakthroughs.
Absolutely. The authors have really pushed the boundaries of what's possible with test time augmentation, and demonstrated that sometimes the simplest solutions can be the most effective. I'm excited to see how this work inspires new directions in the field.
Me too. This was a fascinating look into a cutting-edge piece of research that has important implications for real-world applications of vision language models. Thanks for joining me, Jen. It's been a pleasure diving into this paper with you.
Likewise, Tom. This was a great discussion, and I'm sure our listeners learned a lot about the nuances of improving zero-shot generalization in an intuitive and efficient way. Until next time, keep exploring the frontiers of research with us, Tom and Jen. See you next time.
Here's a quirky commercial for a new company inspired by the ideas in the On the Test Time Zero-Shot Generalization of Vision Language Models paper. Are you tired of spending hours fine-tuning your vision language model prompts, only to see modest gains in zero-shot performance?
Introducing MeanShiftIt, the revolutionary new AI software that boosts your model's zero-shot abilities without any prompt engineering.
That's right, no more fiddling with tricky textual prompts. MeanShiftIt works directly on your image embeddings to find the optimal representation, automatically downweighting noisy augmentations.
It's like having a team of expert AI researchers in a box. MeanShiftIt is plug-and-play easy, runs lightning-fast, and even plays nice with your existing prompt-tuning methods.
Don't settle for incremental improvements. Unlock the true zero-shot potential of your vision language models with MeanShiftIt.
MeanShiftIt, because your AI models deserve more than just mean performance. Tom and Jen, get MeanShiftIt today at meanshiftai.com.
Here is an informative, entertaining, and very detailed podcast episode about the research paper comparing personalized relevance algorithms for directed graphs. Welcome to the award-winning podcast where we dive deep into cutting-edge research. I'm your host, Tom.
And I'm your co-host, Jen. Today, we'll be exploring a fascinating paper that compares different algorithms for identifying the most relevant nodes in directed graph data.
The paper is titled Comparing Personalized Relevance Algorithms for Directed Graphs, and it's authored by Luca Cavalcanti, Christian Consani, Martin Brugnara, David Laniato, and Alberto Montresor.
This research tackles an important challenge in network analysis. How do you determine which nodes in a directed graph are the most relevant or influential, especially when viewed through the lens of a specific query or starting point? The researchers developed a novel algorithm called CycleRank and compared it to some well-established techniques like PageRank and personalized PageRank.
The key insight here is that just looking at the number and weight of incoming links, as PageRank does, doesn't always capture the nuanced relationships and contextual relevance we're after. Cycle rank, on the other hand, leverages the cycles or loops within the directed graph to compute more meaningful personalized relevance scores.
Let's dive into the details. The researchers first provide an overview of the different algorithms they're comparing. PageRank is the classic approach that models a random surfer traversing the network, with the PageRank score of a node reflecting the probability that the surfer will end up there.
Personalized PageRank is a variant of this where the random jumps or teleportation is biased towards a specific node or set of nodes, rather than being completely random. This allows you to compute relevance scores tailored to a particular starting point or query.
But as the paper points out, even personalized PageRank has its limitations. It tends to give high scores to nodes that are globally central in the network, even if they aren't necessarily relevant to the specific query. This is where CycleRank comes in.
CycleRank is the novel algorithm developed by the researchers. The key innovation is that it looks at the cyclic paths within the directed graph, rather than just the overall link structure. The intuition is that nodes that participate in many relevant cycles are more likely to be contextually important for a given query.
To illustrate, imagine you're searching Wikipedia for information on a specific topic. An article like United States might have a very high PageRank or personalized PageRank score, because it's a globally central node with many inbound links. But it may not be the most relevant page for your particular query.
In contrast, CycleRank would identify pages that are more tightly coupled to the topic you're exploring, through the cyclical relationships in the link graph. These pages may not have the highest overall centrality, but they're more contextually significant for your specific information need.
The researchers tested these algorithms on a variety of real-world datasets, including Wikipedia link graphs, Twitter interaction networks, and Amazon product co-purchase data. Their results show that CycleRank is able to surface more nuanced and relevant nodes compared to the other methods.
For example, when looking at the Wikipedia page for artificial intelligence, CycleRank highlighted related concepts like machine learning and neural networks as the most relevant, whereas PageRank and personalized PageRank tended to favor more general, high-level pages.
This demonstrates the power of CycleRank to uncover hidden relationships and identify the nodes that are truly most germane to a given query, rather than just the globally important ones. It's a compelling alternative to the standard link analysis techniques.
One of the really cool things about this research is the interactive web platform the team developed. Users can upload their own datasets, experiment with the different algorithms, and visually compare the results. It's a great way to gain insights into the structure and relationships within complex networks.
Absolutely. And the researchers have already preloaded the system with a wealth of real-world datasets, from Wikipedia to Twitter to Amazon, so users can dive right in and start exploring. It's a valuable addition to the toolbox for anyone working with graph data and network analysis.
The broader implications of this work are really exciting too. Being able to accurately identify the most relevant nodes in a directed graph has applications in fields like information retrieval, recommendation systems, and social network analysis. It's a fundamental problem with huge practical importance.
Definitely. And by showcasing efficient algorithms like CycleRank, this research helps unlock the hidden insights that lurk within our increasingly interconnected digital world. It's a great example of how innovative data science can lead to a better understanding of complex systems.
Well said, Jen. This has been a fascinating deep dive into an impressive piece of research. I'm really curious to hear your final thoughts. What did you find most interesting or surprising about this work?
That's a great question, Tom. I was really struck by the elegance and simplicity of the CycleRank approach. Yet how impactful it was in surfacing more relevant nodes compared to the traditional techniques. The idea of leveraging cyclic paths to capture contextual significance is such a clever insight.
Agreed. And I think the researchers did an excellent job of motivating the need for this kind of personalized relevance algorithm, especially in the age of information overload. Being able to cut through the noise and zero in on the most germane content is hugely valuable.
Absolutely. This is the kind of research that has the potential to make a real difference in how we navigate and make sense of our increasingly interconnected digital world. I'm excited to see how this work evolves and gets applied in practical settings.
Me too, Jen. This has been a fantastic exploration of an innovative and impactful piece of research. Listeners, we hope you've enjoyed this deep dive as much as we have. Be sure to check out the interactive demo the researchers have built. It's a great way to experience these algorithms in action.
Yes, definitely don't miss that. And of course, keep listening to our podcast for more fascinating discoveries at the frontiers of science and technology. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Tom and Jen, bye for now.
Are you tired of getting lost in the endless sea of online content?
Introducing CycleShark, the revolutionary AI-powered search engine that cuts through the noise and surfaces the most relevant information for you.
Unlike those other search giants, CycleShark uses advanced cycle-based algorithms to zero in on the content that truly matters.
Forget about generic, one-size-fits-all results. CycleShark delivers personalized relevance tailored to your unique interests and needs.
Need the latest updates on your favorite niche hobby? CycleShark can sniff them out. Looking for that obscure academic paper your professor assigned? CycleShark will hunt it down.
It's like having your own personal information bloodhound, but with way less drool.
So why settle for searching the web when you can CycleShark it? Sign up now and experience the future of directed graph-powered discovery.
CycleShark, relevance that revolves around you. Tom and Jen, CycleShark, swim through the info ocean with ease.